Please take a seat. Just grab a Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, the church that, if you were here last week, Dave in the morning preached from Revelation, which was the God speaking to the church at Ephesus. It was the church at Ephesus that he said about losing your first love, about forgetting the love that you had at first. That's that church at Ephesus. And this is the same church that Paul's writing to here in this letter to the Ephesians. And we're going to start from chapter 1, the beginning of his letter. He does a few introductions and offers grace and peace. And then he comes to this first section, which we're going to have a look at, starting from verse 3. And what he does between verse 3 and verse 14 is he highlights what we already have in Jesus. Because of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, he highlights for us what those things are that we've received because of him. And we're going to go through those just as we read this together. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. There's number one. We're blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We are in Christ. Christ is in us. And we become part of the heavenly realms. We are eternal beings. And our eternal life has begun, and our connection with Christ means that we receive every spiritual blessing. Available to us is every spiritual blessing because of what Jesus did on the cross. Verse 4, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. We are chosen. We are already chosen. And God, we talk about favorites sometimes and people having favorites, and it's a difficult thing to come to terms with God, because you think, well, isn't everybody a favorite? So therefore, if everybody's a favorite, how can I be a favorite? Because everybody's a favorite, all of us. But I find it helpful to think of God favoring me in terms of his action towards me is that of favoring me, of ensuring that I have the best, of wanting nothing but the best for me. Second best is not good enough as far as God's concerned for me. It might do for me, and sometimes for me, third and fourth best and the bottom of the barrel will sometimes do for me. But as far as God's concerned, that's not good enough for me. And it's not good enough for you. He loves you too much to allow you to be content with second best. You're chosen for something better than that. And it says, in love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. We become sons because of what Jesus has done. We become sons and daughters. But actually, there's a reason why it's sons, because sons are heirs to all that God has. We're all sons, whether you're female or male, because you're all equal heirs of the blessings of God and of all that God has for us. So we're chosen. Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. He's given us his grace. His glorious grace is freely given to us in the one that he loves. Verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. We are wiped clean and declared not guilty and rescued from the slavery that was before us. We're forgiven, we're clean, we're white as snow. That's already can be our experience. It's already happened when Jesus died. It becomes available to us then. Then verse 8, he lavished on us, and it's his grace from the end of verse 7, God's grace, he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. There's that grace again. Lavished on us. Lavished, I love that word. It's great, isn't it? It doesn't mean here's a portion, here's some grace. At the moment, some people are beginning to notice that I've lost a lot of weight since Christmas, and I've been on a diet, and I feel like I haven't lavished for ages. It's always a bit of this and a bit of that, and I've not got far to go to my target. And when I hit my target, I'm going to lavish on something. Not for long. I'm not going to put it all back on. But it's that idea of just of being in something wonderful, being lavish, more than enough, more and more and more than I can take, being lavished with grace. And I love the picture of being lavished. I want God to lavish me with his grace, and I know that I need it too. Then verse 9, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. Because of Jesus, I can gain access to God's will for my life. It becomes accessible to me, becomes something I can learn and know and live in and encounter, and it can become, can define my life to live in the purpose God has for me. Because of what Jesus has done, that is now available to me to know God's will. Before that, it wasn't. I couldn't do it. I couldn't, even if I found out, I couldn't have done it. But through Jesus, I can find out, I can know, and I can act upon that will. Verse 10, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, there's that word again, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. We're chosen according to his plan, and he is working out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Why? So that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory, so that we live in a way that glorifies him. And then verse 13, you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. There is a guarantee. Verse 14, he's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. The Holy Spirit was given to us as a guarantee, as a seal, so that we'd be sure of what this stuff says, so that we'd be sure that Jesus is with us. Holy Spirit is given to us as a seal, and he does far more for us than just that. But the first thing he does is guarantees our inheritance with God forever. Before he does any work in our lives, before he empowers us and equips us and journeys with us and comforts us and strengthens us, he guarantees our place with God for all eternity. He's a seal. He seals us into that connection with God. And all of this stuff from 3 to 14 is in Christ. Verses 4, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11, 13. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Again and again and again. That's where we find this stuff. That's how it's become available to us. That's how we can access it. In Christ. For what purpose? For the purpose of his glory. Verse 6, 12 and 14. To the purpose of his glory. To the praise of his glorious grace. Verse 6. Verse 12. For the praise of his glory. And verse 14. To the praise of his glory. So that God will be glorified in us. Verses 3 to 14. The start of a letter. That would do, wouldn't it? Crumbs. It's like that. I could spend the rest of my life contemplating that and praising God for it. The rest of my life in wonder and love and praise and service. That's enough. Just to know what God has achieved for me on the cross is enough. We could stop there and that would do. But Paul doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop there. He says, for this reason, because of the truth of all of that stuff, because all of that stuff has been won for us on the cross and is available to us, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, in other words, from the moment that that became accessible to you when you responded to Jesus, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We've got all that stuff. It's already there. But Paul says, I long for you to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for those of us who believe. When we talk about more here, Paul's talking about three things. Verse 17, to know God better. A spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we know him better. Not know more about him, but know him better. That's part of the more that we can access. And part of what we want to pray for each other this evening is that we know God better, because the more we know him, the more impact he has on our lives. The more we give ourselves to him, the more we live for him. We pray for one another that we'd have a greater knowledge of God, of who God is, knowing him. And you only get to know people by spending time with them. To know him better. It's a work of the Spirit in us. Wisdom and revelation. Let's be praying that for one another when we come to that time in a moment. Wisdom and revelation, so that we can know him better. And so, I think some of what's going to go on this evening is people hearing from God and speaking into other people's lives. And we'll do that through our prayers when we pray for one another. We might do that from the microphone if God gives us something. That's an example of God giving us wisdom and revelation so that we'd know him better. The second thing that Paul's praying for them is that the eyes of their heart may be enlightened, so that you may know the hope to which he has called you. A greater knowledge of what is ours in Christ. It's all there. He's just written it all out for them. But he's saying, I want you to know that more. I want you to have more experience of the truth of what that means in your life. I don't want you just to know the facts. 3 to 14 are the facts. Here's what you have available to you. Now I want you to step into it and experience it and live it and know it, for it to become who you are and what you do. A greater knowledge of what is ours in Christ. The riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Let's be praying that for one another this evening. And then the third one in verse 19. His incomparably great power for us who believe. The power which is the working of his mighty strength, and it's the same power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion. A greater operation of the resurrection power. We want to pray that for one another, and we want to pray that we see that this evening. Maybe there's something in your life, some healing, physical healing that you need. Maybe there's an emotional healing that you need. Maybe there's a spiritual healing that you need. We want to see God's power at work in us this evening. We want to pray for a greater operation of the resurrection power. Don't be frightened this evening if somebody asks for you to pray something for them. Just to pray it as simply as you can and ask God to come and bring them what they're asking for. Keep those things in your minds. Maybe keep that passage open on your seat as you journey about. Maybe take it as you're praying for people. There's more available. It's all there, and it's about us trying to access that.